Welcome to this short act of worship for Easter Eve from York Minster. This is a day of watching and waiting. Traditionally, we contemplate Christ journeying down to the depths of hell to bring the dead back to life. We wait in this space between Good Friday and Easter Day, between death and life, and we anticipate the joy that is to come as we move from the darkness of death to the light of the resurrection. If you are able, you might wish to light a candle as you listen. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, banish all darkness from our hearts and minds. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. To you be praise and glory forever. Your steadfast love extends to the heavens, and your faithfulness never ceases. Illuminate our hearts with your wisdom, and strengthen our lives with your word. For you are the fountain of life. In your light we see true light. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. The choir of York Minster sing the anthem by Palestrina, Sicut Servus. The words sung in Latin are based on Psalm 42 and express our longing for the love of God. Like as the heart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God.
Oh,
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
This may seem hard to believe, but it wasn't all that long ago that interest in politics in this country had dwindled to being almost non-existent, except among the committed few. In order to inject some new life into this desperate situation, the major political parties underwent a rebranding exercise. If you pause for just a moment, you might be able to recall some of the logos that now stand for the various parties. At the time, there was quite a lot of ridicule about what the design consultants came up with. Some of the new logos were referred to disparagingly as little more than squiggles a child could have drawn. It's not easy to communicate a brand in a simple, memorable symbol, which conveys the essence of who you are or what you stand for without the need for great explanation. So if you had to rebrand the Christian faith, I wonder where you'd start. The cross is a universally recognized symbol, but some might argue that in an age when interest in Christianity, or in the church at least, has dwindled, we too could do with a rebranding exercise ourselves. It's worth remembering that the cross wasn't the preferred choice of symbol from the outset. It was actually a fish. You can still see this symbol displayed in some cars, proclaiming to all the world that the owner's a Christian. It's actually a rich symbol, but perhaps one of the reasons why it was superseded by the cross is that it needed explanation. It was actually a secret sign, intended to be understood only by those in the know, in order to avoid being identified as Christian in a hostile Roman Empire. The Greek word for fish, ichthus, was used as a mnemonic by the first Christians, for each of the letters of ichthus triggered an association with other words, conveying something of the Christian faith. Jesus Christos, Theouchios Soter. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. It was clever, and it served its purpose. But perhaps you get the sense that its meaning isn't immediately evident to all. So in time, the cross became the symbol of the Christian faith instead. It scarcely requires explanation, even though it might have become widely emptied of meaning for many now. This can be articulated in the rather sad story of someone who went into a jeweller's and asked for one of them chains with a bit of silver and that funny little man on it. If the real significance of the cross were understood, that the bit of silver was a cross, a brutal instrument of torture and execution, and that the funny little man was Jesus, who was killed because his message of love for all was so much of a threat to the religious and political authorities of his day that he had to be done away with, then perhaps it wouldn't be quite so attractive as a piece of jewellery. Rebranding Christianity and replacing the cross as its central symbol isn't very easy, nor is it really desirable. For the cross presents without compromise both the historical event of the crucifixion and also the unavoidable fact of universal death. Death is everywhere. It's built into the very fabric of creation. Everything comes and goes, is born and dies, from the tiniest blade of grass to the most precious human being. And yet we humans do our best to avoid and resist the inevitable. Death seems to offend us, as if it shouldn't be, but in the act of turning our backs on it, we create so much suffering. We try to preserve our own lives, our identities, our ambitions, our power, our interests, our projects, our control over life, at all costs. We try to make life revolve around us and our own limited perspective, around our own egos, and as a result, create conflict with everyone and everything. And this is the paradox, isn't it? That being prepared to die is itself the only way out of suffering and death, the only path to real life. For if death is everywhere, so too is life. We see it in the cycles of nature, in the course of history, and in the patterns of our own lives. But in order for life to flow, we have to stop clinging to it and holding on to it, and let go of it instead. The reason why the cross is such a powerful and evocative symbol is that we intuitively perceive the choice it presents us with. Hang on or let go. In letting go of his own life on the cross, Jesus remained open to the indestructible reality of life. For on the cross, especially on the cross, Jesus trusted that life is infused in every part, including death, with the abundant and overflowing love and grace of God, from which no one and nothing can be separated. In the end, the most fundamental question life presents us with is whether to surrender to love or not. When we resist love, we close in on ourselves and enter into the darkness of Good Friday and the cross. When we let go, when we open ourselves to being loved by God and loving others with the same love with which we are loved, we find the blazing light of resurrection flooding into our lives. For this dying and rising in love is the universal pattern of absolutely everything.
Let us pray. Lord, give us hearts never to forget thy love, but to dwell therein whatever we do, whether we sleep or wake, live or die, or rise again to the life that is to come. For thy love is eternal life and everlasting rest. For this is life eternal, to know thee and thy infinite goodness. O let its flame never be quenched in our hearts. Let it grow and brighten till our whole souls are glowing and shining with its light and warmth. Be thou our joy, our hope, our strength and life, our shield and shepherd, our portion for ever. For happy are we if we continue in the love wherewith thou hast loved us. Holy are we when we love thee steadfastly. Therefore, O thou, whose name and essence is love, enkindle our hearts, enlighten our understanding, sanctify our wills, and fill all the thoughts of our hearts, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.